Are you ready?
Morning.
Morning.
Our processional hymn is number 627, O Day Full of Grace. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Please rise for the invocation. Kyrie. We'll speak the response. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God and the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Our hymn of praise is number 693, Come Ye Thankful People Come. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please join me in the prayer of the day. Almighty God, your sovereign purpose brings salvation to birth. Give us faith to be steadfast amid the tumults of this world, trusting that your kingdom comes and your will is done through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading is from Daniel 12, verses 1 through 3. At that time, Michael, the great prince, the protector of your people, shall arise. There shall be a time of anguish such as has never occurred since nations first came into existence. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead the many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalmody is Psalm 16, if we could read that responsively. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble ones, in whom is all my delight. Those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. Their drunk offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The second reading is from Hebrews 10. And every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since then, he has been waiting until his enemies would be a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. And he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel for today, the 26th Sunday of Pentecost, is from the Gospel of Mark, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. That is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated.
We were going to rock, paper, scissors for who had to read the gospel. But today's sermon is based on the gospel reading, and it's taken from several authors and minister sermons. I've enjoyed doing a sermon every now and then, but this one's perfect for me right now. I've had a few trials the last 2 to 3 weeks. You know that feeling when nothing seems to be going your way. Some of it was self-inflicted. Some of it was just the pains of getting older. When I was younger, blowing a whistle as a teacher that had too many decibels, I now need hearing aids. Cha-ching. Another was the cost of a pet and a specialist in Sun Valley. Cha-ching. I fell for a scam online trying to buy a lawnmower. Cha-ching. And then there was the election. You may not know this about me, but I'm rarely in agreement with the political power of the state and the nation. I'm always the one who says, "Now, wait a minute, I have a question." So after the I was feeling sorry for myself, plus all that I had previously mentioned. Then I looked up the gospel reading for today. Wow, I thought, this is just perfect. The end of the world. The world is ending again. I'm in need of some hope, not doom and destruction. So I took a couple of days, a deep breath or two, and here we are. As Mark writes, how many times have we been to this point in the world? Many will come in my name and say, "I am he." When you hear of wars, rumors of wars, don't be alarmed, for this must take place. Earthquakes, famines. If we continue reading, it only gets worse. Brothers betray brothers, fathers their children, children against their fathers. The temple will be destroyed 2 times, in fact, and not one stone will be left on another. Have you ever noticed that every generation seems to live this same warning? Each time, it seems to get a little worse. My dad used to say that there is nothing worse than man's inhumanity to man. And often it was done in the name of the church. Looking back on history, we can see that the Crusades, the Civil War, both World Wars, Korea, Vietnam, the Twin Towers. We left Afghanistan after 20 years. One writer said, "I believe war is part of our fallen human nature. It is who we are when we are not wholly won over to Christ and his teaching." Apocalyptic literature and preaching about the end is interesting and exciting, but we must be careful not to believe that everything that happens on earth represents and correlates with God and the ending of time. When people start to read and predict the signs of the times, we need to pause, take a breath. Of all the predictions, my favorite is that there are people out there who think they can hurry the end by encouraging and participating in events that they believe will bring Christ back sooner. How full of yourself do you have to be to think that you can control the timeline of God? Nevertheless, we all, including me, want to know when he's coming, just as the disciples did when they asked Jesus, "When will this be?" Maybe we want to know to get our house in order, just like we did when, as children, when mom left a list of chores of us to do before she got home. My dad wrote the 11 commandments for his four children when they went away on a trip and left us home to ourselves. They were the things that you would expect. Thou shalt not skip any school or church activities. Thou shalt not watch TV when thou hast homework. Thou shalt help thy brother and sister without raising thy voice. You broke that one. Thou shalt call your uncle in case of emergencies. Thou shalt not be up after 10. You also broke that one. Thou shalt not use the car other than for school and church. But my favorite is the last one, number 11. Thou shalt damn better have the place in shape when I get home. We live in a country that may seem to be free of turmoil, but we only need to turn on the news to be corrected. For some, the end seems and feels right now. Those who are actually fighting the wars and or are preparing for war, this turmoil isn't something far off in the distance. It is something that is happening right now. And they may have no food or water. Their homes are destroyed. The Ukraine, Gaza, the Sudan, and Mark's gospel states that the sun will darken and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky. There are people living these end of times. We here are less threatened by predictions because our society right here in Idaho is working pretty well. But other parts of the country suffer. There's hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, mass shootings, drugs, terrorist attacks, floods, and fires. And speaking of war, since 1776, the United States has been at war 232 years out of its 249. So maybe we aren't as well off as we pretend. All the things that Jesus says are coming are still coming. His prophecy was immediate as well as overarching, because he's speaking about the human and the world condition until all things are made right at the second coming. Jesus tells us, don't panic, don't be alarmed. This is the beginning of birth pains. After the birth pain, there is new life. After all the horrible things that are prophesied comes the Savior. We are to watch and wait, not fearful waiting, but joyful anticipation that God is making a new day and a new time. Endings make us feel uneasy. For us at St. John's, you may be asking, what will happen to this community of faith? Some of us, including me, we fear for our church's ending. Who will be our new pastor? Will we be able to keep our doors open? We are a church who has already endured many changes, but I believe in our strong foundation that was built by our fathers and grandfathers. It was built on Christ. We have 115 years of history before us. After the temple fell, a new beginning came, and the church was built on its people. Sharing, fellowshipping, and meals. Identity was no longer on the temple, but in God's word and tradition. We are a people of faith who believe in the resurrection and new life. I believe a new beginning is coming. Just as every spring we start again, so will this church. We will not end. We will just begin anew. God is still here and will be forevermore, and he promises to make all things new. I still find comfort in what my dad would say about the end of times to me when I became worried. He'd say, "Patty, the end has always been coming. And remember, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, not even the Son, but the Father only. So we damn well better have our place in shape for when I get home." Amen.
The hymn of the day is number 517, "Lord, keep us in thy steadfast," no, "keep us steadfast in your word," excuse me. Please rise for the confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Rooted in God's abundant love for the world, let us pray for our neighbors, the church, and all of creation. O God, in the washing of water, you set us free from the power of sin and death. Unite all the baptized in the covenant that you have made with us as we strive for your justice and peace in all the earth. Merciful Father, receive our prayer. By your merciful might, you sustain all creation. Stir us from complacency with the harm we inflict on the earth, and urge us to adopt sustainable ways of life that protect and restore our planet. Merciful God, receive our prayer. With a selfless power, you protect all who take refuge in you. As nations rise against nations, defend all who are displaced or affected by war or violence. Empower all people and nations to pursue the peace. Merciful God, receive our prayer. In your presence, you give fullness of joy. Care for all for whom joy feels distant. Be present with persons experiencing depression, anxiety, addiction, or any mental illness. Bring them healing and wholeness. Merciful God, receive our prayer. Through the years, you have gathered your church and this community for worship, fellowship, formation, and service. Enable us to look beyond the walls of our building to perceive where you are calling us forward. Merciful God, receive our prayer. With thanksgiving, we remember all saints and angels who delight in your everlasting presence. As their lives inspire ours, provoke us to always love, holding fast to the confession of our hope in you. Merciful God, receive our prayer. We offer our prayers to you, gracious God, trusting in your boundless love for all that you have made through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all, and also with you. Please join in the prayer our Lord taught us. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated.
Okay, last week I promised you a children's sermon. So if you're a children or you want to come snuggle with me on the steps, come right here, right now. Look at them, they're all like, no! Come on, get up here. How about you two? How about Charlie, Victoria? You don't want to snuggle me? Only Quincy wants to snuggle me. Sit on down here. Okay, did you guys listen to what Pat TV said to us today? Did you? What did she talk about? She talked about 11 commandments. Those were her dad's commandments, huh? Well, today I'm going to talk about one of the Ten Commandments. We're going to work on the Ten Commandments. Have you ever heard of the Ten Commandments? No? Oh, we fell. Have you heard of them? Yeah, a little. Okay. So, Moses went up on the mountain, and he came down with these two giant rocks. Do you think that's true?
Yeah.
You think? He came down with these two tablets. Sometimes when you're in a town, look on some of their school lawns. They can't do that anymore. But on their courthouse lawn, they'll have these two big monuments made out of rock. And do you know what there is carved on those rocks? The rules that God gave Moses up on the mountain. And he gave some rules. What do you think the first rule is?
To help people.
To help people. You're right. That is a good rule. God has that rule. The first commandment is, I am the Lord your God. Say that with me. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods.
You should have
no other gods. Where would we get another God from?
Nowhere.
Nowhere. Our God that rules us and gives us the rules is telling us, do not have other gods. So don't worship your favorite sports team. What's your favorite sports team?
The Bulls.
The Bulls, okay. Don't worship them. You can watch them and you can like them, but you don't worship them, right? Because in the end, what happens at the end of a sports team? They don't keep the same players for life, right? Yeah. Those people get old, they have to move on. Or don't worship just one person. Don't worship just one pastor. Only person that we should worship that's here forever and ever in our life is who? God. Exactly. God is with us forever and ever. So don't worship any other things. You can like them, but don't worship them. Alrighty? Okay, next week we'll talk about the second commandment. It's problematic for me. Okay? So Titan and Charlie are going to go to the back, and the rest of you three go back while I do these announcements.
I can talk to little kids. Okay, welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year, it is the 26th Sunday of Pentecost. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to Charlotte Porath, better known as Charlie Porath, and Amy Avia. Happy birthday this week to Gary Harmison, Kirk Olson, Jaden Allen, Vincent Harris, Cy Briggs, Hank Boomer, Ron Funk, Lisa Ruff, Casey Weiss, and Sarah Gallegos. Happy anniversary this week to Dustin and Honey Allen, and Ridge and Jessica Grover. Altar flowers today are given to the glory of God, with thanks for the people that continue to do God's work among us. Any other announcements? All righty, the offering will be collected at this time. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless us now and forever. We'll wait. Marie Do find her music. Ready? The amens. Our recessional hymn is number 430, Rejoice for Christ is King.
Thank you.
Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Yeah.